You're listening to Amon V'Chazaro, Dan E. Eisenberg, Maseches Shabbos. And tonight, Mirtz Hashem, we're going to do a catch-up from Shavuos Shir. I hope everybody had a beautiful Yom Tov. We were not able to get together to do the daf and half that we missed in person. So tonight, I'll be recording at least Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, and maybe Amud Beis, and it could be in the same recording. We'll do Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. We'll see how we're doing on time. Otherwise, we'll send it up in separate uploads. We're going to start from Shabbos, Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Beis, at the bottom of the Amud. I'm not sure where exactly we left off, where the Rav left off, but we were in a discussion about, there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yishmael, Benosha, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka, and the Chachamim, and right at the beginning of the Gemara, it quotes this Braisa, that it's on Pesach, and we have the Korban Pesach, and how much we are mafshit, how much we skin it. Do we skin it mafshit in eskulo, as the Chacham say? Or rather, do we say, no, you only go up to the chaza, you go up to the chest, and no more, because beyond that, that's just helping the person who's going to be eating the karban rather than part of the mitzvah itself. Meaning, do we do something for the purpose of the mitzvah if it's for somebody like a practical use for people, or it's only if it's for the mitzvah itself, and that's what it's based on. So we'll pick up from five lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Mar Ukva, Maya Hadrule Chavraya, Rabbi Yishmael Benoshel, Rabbi Yochanan Broka. What did the Chavra say? What did the Chacham respond? There's some sort of a story that the Chacham responded something to Rabbi Yishmael, who says that you can only skin the sheep, the goat, up until the chest, not the whole way. So what did they respond to him? And he said, "Hachi kamari." This is what he said: "Im matzilin tika sefer im ha sefer lo nafshi des pesach meoro." He says that he tries to bring a comparison from our mission that we quoted, that if you're allowed to save the tik with a sefer in it, along with the sefer that you're saving, so why should you not be able to take the right to skin the pesach, the carbon pesach, from its skin? Rashi Labage over here that even though that there's money in it, but for kavod sefer, which is a tzarech gavoa, right? That's God's business. It's not just ours. So we're allowed to do it. So therefore, over here, we should also be able to do it. That, you know, there's a tzarech gavoa over here. As we mentioned, there is a tzorech gavoa in skinning it all the way, whether it's so that it shouldn't sit around like a nevela, or so that it shouldn't rot, even though a person's going to benefit from it, but we allow it, so why not? The Gemara responds, "Me dummy hasam tiltol hacha melacha." Well, how can you compare these two cases? This can't be what they responded to him, because it's a very simple difference. This is tiltol. This is talking about muksa, which is an iser derabanan, and talking about carrying a tik, a case, a safer case with money in it. Hacha melacha. This is talking about melacha. Skinning, right, is mamshit. That's a real iser derais. It's one of the melacha. So you can't tell me that just because we have a heter when it comes to the case of tiltol of the money in the safer case, that doesn't mean that we're going to apply a heter as well to a melacha. Amar Rav Ashi, Bitarti Pligi. So Rav Ashi says, no, that's not what the response is. Rather, this is the response. Rather, or that's not how to understand the response. Rather, this is how. Bitarti Pligi. They argue in two things. Pligi Bitiltu, Pligi Bimalacha. They're arguing, first of all, when it comes to Tiltul, and this is Tiltul, not just Tiltul in the case of the Sefer, but Tiltul in the case of the Karba Pesach as well. Because, as Rashi elaborates, that Rabbi Shmuel holds that the Korban Pesach itself, after you've taken out its innards, the Korban Pesach itself becomes muktzah, and you can't do tiltul with it because you're not allowed to eat it until afterwards. It says even mechama litzel mishum or because of the hide. The hide is muktzah. The hide of the animal is muktzah from that point on. And therefore, you're not allowed to move it. And that's one machlokis that Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha has with the Chachamim. And also, continues the Gemara, upligi b'malacha. And they also argue about the malacha itself, of how much you can do hafshata, skinning the animal. The hachi kam relay. And this is what This is what they were saying to him. This is the response of the chavraya of the chevra of the chachamim. Imatzilin tikka sefer ima sefer lo natalta or agav basar. If we're allowed to save the tik, right, this sefer case, even though there's money in it along with the sefer, so lo natalta or agav basar, should we not be allowed to carry to move around the hide of the animal because of the meat? Right, the meat isn't usser. And therefore, we should be allowed to carry the hide because of it. But when necessary, okay. So up on Kuv Yuzayin with Aleph. So the Gemara responds again. Midami, is it similar? Hasam naseh basis ledavar hamuter. Hacha naseh basis ledavar aser. Over there becomes a basis for the davar for a davar muter. Meaning that over there, talking about in the case of the teak, so the sefer is a basis ledavar hamuter. Latatul Rashi says below shum deleka the sefer bar tiltohu ledavar aser kigon maus, right? So it over here the teak is become is a busis. A busis is a, I forgot if we I think we discussed a little bit, is where something becomes the base for a mukta object, and because it becomes the base, then it itself becomes mukta, if it's the base of a mukta object. So over here, yes, the money is mukta, but the tik itself became a base for a mutter object, for the sefer, and therefore it doesn't become mukta. However, over here, with we're talking about, in the case of the Korban Pesach, that is a basis for the davar aser, right? Because that's just for the hide, and therefore you should not be able to move it. So really, we can't compare these two cases. Meaning, if you try to respond to the Korban Pesach situation to say, hey, but look at this case with the tik, they're not really comparable, because the tik is a case where it's a basis for davar mutter, the sefer, and the case of the Korban Pesach, according to Rabbi Yishmael ben Abba Shalom Rokhan ben Broka, it's a basis for a davar aser, for the hide. So the Gemara responds, Elahachi kamrelei. Rather, this is what they said to him. Sheyesh va'afa. Sorry, im mitzilin tik shall sefer im ha sefer va'afal pi sheyesh b'sochamos. That if we're allowed to save the tik of a sefer, even along with the sefer, even though there's money in it, lo natalto or agav basar, are we not? Should we not be allowed to also carry the Korban Pesach because of the flesh? So it seems to be understanding that the busis over here, the teak becomes a busis for the davar aser, and nevertheless we're allowed to move it. So if the teak is a busis for a davar mutter and for a davar aser, and if we're right now the Gemara is assuming that it's a busis for a davar aser, and therefore it really should be comparable. So to the animal, the Korban Pesach, which is a busis for the hide. So the Gemara again responds, Midami, can you really compare that? Hasam nasis busis ledavar aser uledavar hamutter hacha kulo nase busis ledavar aser. No, you cannot compare those two cases. Because if it's a busis for a davar aser and a davar mutter, it's not the same as a busis for a davar aser. Elahachi kamri lei. This is the response that they said. Imivin tik sheish besocha maos me alma lahatzil bo sefer Torah lo natalto agav or agav aser. So it says we're allowed to take a tik. A teak that has nothing, it doesn't have a sefer in it, right? We're not talking about a bag that has a sefer in it. We're talking about a teak that has just money in it, and you're using that to save a sefer Torah, right? So there's a sefer Torah burning in a fire, and you're grabbing a teak, a bag, and you need that to save the sefer Torah, and there's money in it. Are you allowed to do it? So the Gemara is assuming right now you're allowed to do that. And if you're allowed to do that, because now what we have is the teak is a busis ledavar aser and only davar aser. It's not a busis to anything mutter. And we're allowed to move it. Salona tatal or agav basar. Are you not allowed, would you therefore not be allowed to conclude the same thing, that you're allowed to move the Korban Pesach for the purpose, even though it's a busis for the hide? So that would seem to makes sense, but the higuva minalan. But that itself, where do we know that from, right? You just said a very big chiddush that you're allowed to take a teak that has nothing but money in it and take it and save a sefer Torah. Ilema demidehecha de isbe lo shadi lehu. So if you might say, this is how we know, because the Braisa taught, or right, the Mishnah taught its teaching, and it says, It's from where there is, where there's money in it, and he doesn't say you have to throw it out, right? We read our Mishnah. It says that you're allowed to take a Sefer Torah in a tikk and save the tikk with it, even though there's money. It doesn't say you have to go through, you have to throw the money out. So you might say that, so you, therefore you might conclude also, Isuye Nami Maisinon, that you should also include it over here. That say, okay, listen, just like we have a case over here where it says there's money in the tikk with the Sefer Torah, and you don't have to throw, they're never said in the Mishnah that you have to throw the money out. Therefore, you can, therefore you want to conclude that, yeah, so even if it was a tikk separate from the Sefer Torah, and it's filled with money, and you want to use it to save the Sefer Torah, so maybe that might be as much as well. You don't have to throw it out. So me dummy, can you really compare these two cases? Hosam adahachi vahachi nafla deleika. Over there, adahachi vahachi. Like meanwhile, in the meantime, while you're just, you know, you're trying to futz around and try to get the money to fall out of the Sefer Torah tikk, the fire is going to get worse and cause more damage. Ha-ha, but here in this case, where you're going to get a separate tikk, right, a bag with money in it, and you're going to use that Sefer Torah, ha-ha, adahach v'hachi, lishdinon, you should throw it out. So we can't say that from this Mishnah we can learn that if you have a tikk with only money in it, that you don't have to throw the money out first. We can't conclude that. So therefore we have to reject that approach. Elo amar mar bar ravashi liolam kedemrina meikara. So mar bar ravashi says, really, we have to establish it as we explained earlier. And Rashi over here explains what does it mean as we explained earlier. Delo pligi ele b'havshata, right? We're not talking about the mukta of status of the hide on the animal. That the only machlokis is the havshata of how much they're allowed to skin the, how much they're allowed to skin the animal. And therefore, but your question, hacha tilto v'hacham, hacham alacha, right? You said, We had a Mesora that there was a response to the Korban Pesach Machlokas from our Mishnah regarding the saving a Sefer Torah, in the Tikk, even though there's money in it. We know that that was a response to this Korban Pesach Machlokas about Havshata. So we originally asked, the way we understood this comparison doesn't make sense. Probably it was talking about Muktza, the Muktza aspect of the, not the Havshata aspect, because you can't compare Malacha to Tiltol. So the Gemara says now over here, Ramar Baravashi says, no, really, it's as you originally, we originally assumed that they're responding directly, to the Havshata with this case. But so how do we understand it? So the kash to that, hacha tilta v'hacha malacha, kigon delo, so the Gemara responds, kigon delo kavile la'or. It's, for example, where they weren't koveya the or. They didn't, intend to, use the skin of the animal. Right? Rashi explains that they don't need the or. The only intention was, to skin the animal, right? That Rashi says, "Eino tsarach lo la'or ve'eino miskavin lahavshit mishum or," and therefore velo dami lehavshet elim mitchashim demishkan. It's not like the havshata of the elim and tchashim of the mishkan where they're trying to use its skin. Rather, they're just skinning it because they're trying to get to the animal itself, and therefore it's not considered the same kind of thing. Rashi says in the previous Rashi, "Kedamar meikara." That the Rabbanon bring a raya from the tikk case, mitik sefer demasnisan demetzilan mos agav sefer tsarche hediot agav tsarche gavoa. The main point is that we want to see that a case where there's a tsarche hediot and the tsarche gavoa, and that doesn't give us any trouble. The fact that there's also tsarche hediot involved, meaning that in the case of havshata, yes, it does make when you skin the whole animal. When you skin the whole animal, it does provide a benefit to the one eating the carbon eventually, not just to Hashem. But, and similarly, we have the case of the tikk with the money, that there also is, we have an indication that there's no, there's a benefit to Hashem in the covet of the Sefer Torah, and also the money that you have in it, that's being saved. But that's okay. That doesn't make a problem for us. And over here, we're talking about where there is no kavana for the or. Now the Gemara questions. Hold on. We've mentioned several times in this Masechta already on Ayin Hey and Kuf Gimel and Kuf Yud Aleph. We're going to mention a bunch more times that the Rabbi and Rava both agree that Rabbi Shimon himself agrees, even though he says Davar Sheino Meshkavein is mutter. But if it's Psik Reishe, meaning it's guaranteed to happen, then Rabbi Shimon would say it's Aser. So Deshankile Bebarzi says the Gemara that it's where he took it in Bebarzi. Rashi seems to explain over here that it's not, you know, properly usable strips. Rashi says Bechasichos Dakos. Thin cuts, mafshit, v'chosech de'in derech havshata b'kach, v'lav malachahu el shvus. Over here, we're only talking about an Isser Derabanan. We're not talking about a Deraisa. We're talking about where you did it in an abnormal way that's not the typical way to do havshata, where you skin an animal and you have this massive hide. Over here, we did thin strips. And since it's only an Isser Derabanan, this is very helpful. If it's only Isser Derabanan, then it's on the level, that's right, it's a shvus, says Rashi, then it's on the level of tiltal. So it's not talking about, right, how can you compare this case of tiltal and this is malacha? No, this is tiltal and this is Asur Mederabanan. And that's and then you could bring in this proof. Okay, the Gemara continues analyzing our mission. So we spoke about saving the Sefer Torah. So what was the big chiddush by the saving the Sefer Torah? So it says that you're allowed to bring it into so it's actually a machlokas. Right, the back to the mission on the previous summit, it says Ulhechan Matsilan Osan Lemavoy Sha'ina Mafulash, to a mavoy that is not mafulash, that is not open. And Ben Becerra argues with the Tanakhama, Ben Becerra Omer, Afla Mafulash. He says you can even do it to an open mavoy, an open alleyway. So while these are terms in Mesachas Erevin, they're official terms of Mavoy Mafulash, Mavoy Eino Mafulash, but over here, the Gemara seems to be understanding these terms a little bit differently, and we have to try to figure out what makes a Mavoy Mafulash and an Eino Mafulash. And what's the basis of this machlokas? So the Gemara says, "Hey chidami mufulas, hey chidami shena mufulas." What are these terms? Amar Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda says, "Shlosh mechitos v'shnei lechayin, zehu mavoy she'ena mufulas, and gimel mechitos v'lechi echad zehu mavoy hamafulas." That both types of mavoys that we're talking about, both types of alleyways, just understand the structure of what it looked like. So usually houses were opened up into a chatzer, right? That was like a courtyard, and so multiple houses would open up into the chatzer, and then a chatzer would open up into an alleyway. And sometimes the alleyway would be closed off. So you have in one alleyway a bunch of openings that would lead to a chatzer, which would lead to a bunch of houses. Now, Rav Chisda, we're going to see actually three opinions in understanding the chilek between a mavay mufulish and a mavay eno mufulish. Rav Chisda says over here, both are talking about where it's walled off from three sides. That's the shlosh mechitzos. Now, in order to be, we'll see actually in a moment, what would allow us, really, this to carry in this, in such a mavoy would be mutter midiraisa, but it's aser midirabanan unless we do something. There's a concern, there's a gzeira that if people, as we'll learn in Mirza Shem in a few months, once we get to Erevin, that there's a gzeira that this might look too much like the street, a mavoy looks too much like the street, and therefore, if it's not closed off from four sides, if it's only closed off for three sides, there might be something we need to do, in order to make a reminder that it's not the street, which would allow us to carry. Otherwise, it would be Asur Midrabanan to carry in such a place. So Rav Chisda says that both cases, and Amavay Mafulash and Eino Mafulash, are both talking about where it's walled off from three sides. And the difference between making it open and not open, Mafulash and Eino Mafulash, is if you have a lechi is a vertical beam at the entrance, at this fourth open side. And if you have two lechayayin, you have a lechi on one side of that fourth side, and at the other side of that fourth side, you have two lechayayin. So that's a mavoy that's eino mafulash. But if you only have one, a lechi echa, that's a mavoy mafulash. So that's considered open, right? There's only one lechi there, that's not two lechayayin, so that makes it open. V'tarvayhu, and both of these opinions, Tanakhama and Ben Becerra in our Mishnah, which are talking about the mafulash and mafulash, are alibad Rabbi Eliezer. That's according to Rabbi Eliezer, as we're going to quote a Mishnah in Erevin right now. Ditznan, there's three opinions. Tanan, hechsher mavoy, what's considered hechsher for a mavoy, meaning what would allow me to carry in a mavoy? avoy. Beishamai orim lechi v'kora. Beishamai says that you need a lechi and a kora. You need a vertical beam and a horizontal beam at this fourth wall, or where this fourth wall would be, in order to remind people that it's a mavoi, not a street. Ubeis Hillel omrim o lechi o kora. No, you don't need both. One or the other is fine. Rabbi Eliezer is the third opinion in this Mishnah, which is interesting, because it's Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, and then you have Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Shnei Lechayayim. Nope, you don't have a choice of Lechay or Korai, and you don't need both, you need two Lechayayim, two vertical beams at the entrance. So over here, this Machlokes, between Tanakam and Ben Beseira, according to Rav Chisda, is where there's one or two. Now, it's interesting, because that means that the Tanakama doesn't allow us to carry a Sefer Torah into a mavoi that's ena mafulash, meaning, or mavoi mafulash, meaning if there's only one lechi, even then, he doesn't allow us to carry it. So therefore, there's not really a heter at all over here, according to the Tanakama. The Ben Beseira gives us a heter that even if there's only, assuming that the Ben Beseira is holding like Rabbi Eliezer, that you need two lechayayin, and over here, according to Rav Chisda's definition, the Eino Mafulash, it's not open, has two lechayayin, but the Mafulash, the open Mavoy, has one lechi, and Ben Beseira says you're allowed to carry into that, so then you have a chiddush according to Ben Beseira, that he says that according to this definition, even though really Rabbi Eliezer says you need two lechayayin, but we have a special heter when a sefer Torah to save it from a fire, that even if there's only one lechi, you could bring it there. And the Tanakama would say, no, even then you can't. You need a regular mavoi eino mafulash and with two lechayayin. So now what Rabba responds, Amar le Rabba. Rabba says to him, Rabba said to Rav Chisda, that definition cannot be. Gimu mechitzas lechi echad mafulash karisa le? You're telling me that we have three walls and one lechi, and you're going to call that mafulash? You're calling that open? How can you call that open? That's not mafulash. Va'od, and another problem with your approach, Rav Chisda, is l'rabbana natzi l'socho ochlin amashkin. In our Mishnah, we say that you're allowed to, that according to the Rabbana, meaning the Tanakama, not Ben Beseira, who's more lenient, but the Tanakama says that you're allowed to bring into a mavoi, Eina mafulash, you're allowed to carry a Sefer Torah into it. So what do you mean carry a Sefer Torah? A mavoi, if you're defining a mavoi eina mafulash as a mavoi, which is three walls and two lechayayin, that's perfect. You can carry anything into that. You could save your food, you could save your drinks, you could save anything, not just Sefer Torah. So according to that understanding, meaning according to your definition, Rav Chisda, if you define a mavoi eino mafulash as three walls and two lechayayim, so two lechis, so then why would the Tanakama say, the Rabbanan say, that you could only carry, bring a Sefer Torah, that you can carry anything there, and therefore, says Rabba, Rav Chisda, the opinion doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that you're going to call such a mavoi eino mafulash, this is open. If there's three walls and one lechi, you're going to call that open. That's hard to understand. And also, the Tanakama's opinion would essentially mean that doesn't make sense at all, because he's saying that even a mavoi ain't a mafulash, which you can carry anything in, and he says you can only carry Sefer Torah. So that's Rabba's rejection of this, and Rabba therefore gives another pshat. Elo Amar Rabba. Shtei mechitzos v'shnei lechayayin zehu mavoi sheinu mafulash. Shtei mechitzos v'lechi echad zehu mavoi hamafulash. So Rabbi says, no, both cases are talking about where there are two mechitzos. Not three, and then we'll talk about the lechis, but rather only two. And what's going to make it mafulash and einu mafulash? Well, if there are two lechayayin, then it is considered Eino mafulash, it's not considered open. And if there's one lechi, then it's considered open. Wait, so hold on. So we have only two walls here and two lechayim or one. So v'tarvayu alibet Rebbe Yehuda, and both of the opinions, meaning the Tanakama / Rabbanon of our Mishnah and Ben Beseira, are according to Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda, who's Rebbe Yehuda? So Ditanya, as we learned in a Braisa, and this we actually quoted earlier on Dav Vav from a long time ago, 111 blad ago. Ditanya, yeser al kain, so just not getting into the context there, but He says, and he says beyond this, what was said in the original opinion. Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, "Mi sheyesh lo shnei batim b'shnei tzidei rishus harabim." Somebody has two houses on two different sides of the rishus harabim. So he has two homes. He owns both of them, and there's rishus harabim in the middle. What can he do in order to carry in them? He's right. He osel lechi mikain v'lechi mikain okora mikain v'kora mikain. What he can do is set up a lechi on this side and a lechi on this side, or a korah on this side or a korah on this side, v'nosin v'nosin be'emtza, and he's allowed to then do his business, carry, go back and forth in the middle, right? So what meaning Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is very interesting. He says even if you only have two walls and two lechayim, that will be good. And therefore, that's what this Mishnah is talking about. It's the definitions are according within Rabbi Yehuda over here, and the definitions of Mufulash and Eino Mufulash are according to that. And they're both talking about where there are two walls, and regarding the third wall, that's not a wall. So if you have one lechi or two lechayim, and that's the machlokas of Ben Becerra and the Tana Kama in our Mishnah. Amrulo. Oh, and continuing the Brisa a little bit. Amrul, they, meaning the Tana Kama, the Chachamim in this Brisa, responded to him, to Rabbi Yehuda, Ein ma'arvin rishus harabim kach. Nah, you can't do that for rishus harabim. Okay, it's not the point. The point, we're focusing on Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, because we said both of them are going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Amr le Abaye, so Abaye says to Rabba, L'didach nami l'rabbana natzi l'socha ochel mashkin. He says, according to you, Rabbi, you have basically the same problem that you just asked on Rav Chisda. He says, according to you, then according to the Rabbanan, you should also be able to save Ochlin and Maskin. Meaning that you're telling me, Rabbah, that the Tana Kama and our Mishnah and Ben Becerra both hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning both hold that you need, in order to be able to, save the Sefer Torah, you need two walls if the Rabbanan, the Tana Kama, holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that means as long as you have two walls and two lechayim, you can carry in it. So if you're gonna tell me that a Mavoi that's mafulash, an open mavoi, sorry, some of us ain't a mafulash, is where there's two walls and two lechayayim. That's where I'm allowed, and according to the Tana Kama, that's when I'm allowed to save the Sefer Torah. That's when you're allowed to carry in anything according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that, that's not just the Sefer Torah, Rabbi Yehuda says in this Brice over here, that we quote on above as well, that you're allowed to carry, as long as there are two mechitzos, and two lechayim, you're allowed to carry in it. So if that's how Rabbah is defining a mavoi, she'ena mafulash, and that's the only one that our Mishnah says you can carry the Tana Kama says you can carry a Sefer Torah in. So really, if they really hold like Rabbi Yehuda, you can carry much more. You can carry food, drink, things like that. So it's still a problem. So we turn to Kuviyat Zayin Amud Beis, Eller Amar of Ashi. So Rav Ashi has a third definition of what these two different types of mufulash and mafulash is. Shlosh mechitzos velechi. Velechi echad zemav she'ena mafulash gil mechitzos below lechi zemav mafulash. So again, he says that both cases mafulash and mafulash are where there's three mechitzos. And the question and what makes it eino mafulash? What makes it closed if there's one lechi? And what makes it open mafulash? That's if there is no lechi. And now, v'afilu Rabbi Eliezer, d'amar b'inan lechayayim, according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says that you need lechayayim, Rabbi Eliezer says, he argues with Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and he says that in order to be able to carry in a mavoi, you needed to have three mechitzos and two lechayayim, but hanimili le'ochlin u'mashkin. But what our mission is teaching us is these words are only by ochlin u'mashkin, aval le'sefer Torah, Bechad lechi sagi, but for saving a sefer Torah, even with one lechi would be enough. And therefore, this is the chiddush. This is how we should understand our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that a mavoi mefulash. What's a mavoi? And so really, the machlokis over here between Ben Becerra and the Tana Kama is how far we extend the heter for the Sefer Torah, right? Because according to Rabbi Eliezer, they're both within the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that in order to be able to carry a regular thing, food, drink, whatever else, in a mavoi, the mavoi needs to have three mechitzos and two lechayayim. And what if there's only one lechi? What if there's zero lechayayim? Would you be allowed to carry it? So according to a regular case, Rabbi Eliezer would say absolutely not. But the Chachamim, the Tanakam of our Mishnah, and Ben Becerra argue No, but yeah, Rabbi Eliezer typically holds you need two lechayim. But if it's to save a sefer Torah, says the Tanakhama, even if it's a mavoi that's ena mafulash, that it's not closed. Meaning, even if it's a mavoi with three walls and only one lechi, not the typically requisite lechayim. There's only one lechi. Says the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, the Rabbanon of our Mishnah, that you would be allowed to carry the sefer Torah in there. And Ben Beseder says, no, I think this the heter goes one step further. Even if it's mafulash, it's open, meaning there's not even a single lechi. There's three walls and no lechi. Even then, you can carry it. So again, both of these opinions, mafulash and mafulash, according to Rav Ashi, both of them are within the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. And the question is, do we apply a heter for the Sefer Torah even if there's only one lechi, or even more than that, even if there's no lechi, we're allowed to carry the Sefer Torah? And that is the end of that piece. We learn in a new Mishnah, Matzilin Mazon Gimel Seudos Haroi LaAdam LaAdam Haroi LaBehema LaBehema. We're allowed to save food for three seudos, meaning someone's house is on fire, chas v'shalom, on Shabbos, they're allowed to take only a certain amount of food. We're going to discuss why you can't take as much as you want. But you are allowed, there's a heter, you need a heter to save food from the burning house on Shabbos. How much food are you allowed to save? Three meals worth of food. Right? Sounds like it's for the three meals of Shabbos. Right? I mean, of course, this is taking place on Shabbos, otherwise you're allowed to save anything from your house during the week. So we have three meals of Shabbos, and three meals that are fitting for a person, and royal of Behema as well, right? Whatever food you need, that's fitting for a Behema as well. Ketzad, so how exactly does this work? Naflo dleika b'leilei Shabbos, if there was a fire that took place on Friday night, Matzilan Mazon Gimel Seudos. Rashi clarifies, and this is talking about before you ate, Kodem Achila. Right, so you didn't eat yet, you're right, someone just got home from Kabbalah Shabbos, and all of a sudden the house is on fire. He's allowed to save three meals worth. B'shachris, if it happened the next morning, Rashi says again, Kodem Suda, before the Suda time. So Matzil and Mazun Bei Suda. So he's allowed to save the two meals worth of food, right, for lunch and for Shal Shudas. B'mincha, and if it happened around Mincha time, Mazun Le Suda Achas. He can bring food for one meal, Shal Shudas. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Li Olam, or it's Pashup Shad at least. Rabbi Yossi argues with the Tanakhama, Li Olam Matzil and Mazun Shalosh Suda. So you can always save for three meals. That's, even if it's by Shal Shudas time, the shear for saving food on Shabbos is three meals worth. End of story. The Gemara says, Michti, Behetera Katarech. Let's take a look. Behetera Katarech. He's involved in a heter. Not till Tvei. Let him save more, right? There's no problem here. Rashi elaborates that, right? These are Chazu Letiltul. These things aren't Muksa. It's food. It's not Muksa. So there's no assertive Muksa here. Ulachatza Moreves. And it's a Chatzer that has an Erev. So we're not, what Isser are we talking about that he's not allowed to save as much food as he wants? Rava says, Mitoch Shadam Bahul Alamono, because a person is all concerned and worked up because of his money, right? He sees his house on fire. You can imagine he's very nervous. He's panicking. Isharis Le Asu the Chivuye. If you allow him to save more things, he's going to come to do Bechabe and violate the Isser D'Oraisa of putting out a fire on Shabbos. Right? So in order to prevent him from doing that, to putting out the fire on Shabbos, We limited what he could take out, so he's constantly mindful as he's taking things out. Like, okay, I only have three meals worth, and then he's not going to get carried away and say, oh, I try to save more. Let me put out the fire. Amar Le Abaye said to him, Elohod Tanya. But hold on, does that same logic apply? If you're saying he's concerned, he's panicking about a fire, we seem to have a similar halacha, but there's no fire to panic about. So does that make sense? So let's take a look at this brisa. Elohod Tanya, but this which you learned in the brisa. Nishbra Lo Chavis Barosh Gago. If somebody broke a barrel on the at the top of his roof, so a barrel broke at the top of his roof, maybe, so right, and now he has wine that's pouring out, he needs this wine, or he doesn't want to lose his wine, so maybe kli umeniach tachteha, he can bring a kli and put it under where the wine is pouring out, so you can bring a brand new kli and have the wine pouring out of this broken barrel dripping into the kli, and that's fine. Ubilvad shelo yavi kli acher vayiklot. But he's not allowed to bring yet another kli, a second kli, and vayiklot, like have it, like catch it in the air, the dripping wine, to, right, meaning now he's using a second kli for the process. Or says the Braisa, a kli achar vayitzaref, or have another kli and yitzaref. So Rashi over here seems to say yitzaref is where you like hold it up, as opposed to you kind of just, where you're actively involved, where you like hold it up to the level of the, of where it's dripping, but the main point is that you're using a second kli. So you're only allowed to use one kli. You're not allowed to use a second kli. So the Gemara says, "My gzera ika." Right? This sounds like a biased question. What gzera is there? Meaning, there's no concern of fire over here, but it sounds like the same kind of concept where there's a limitation to how much you can do. Right? Nothing's muktzah here. Nothing is, and we're not talking about a, where there's no erev. There's an erev, and the barrel and kalim that you're using are not muktzah. So what could be the problem? It sounds like it's the same idea as our Mishnah, where we say that there is a limitation. And Rava explained what, well, there's a limitation because, you know, you might overdo it and come to do an Isser. What over here, well, there's no concern, there's no panic, there's no fire. What's going on here? So, my gzerika, hakanami, says the Gemara, or maybe Rava responding to Abai, hakanami, gzera, over here, there's also gzera, shema yavi kli derech rishus rabin. We're concerned that if we don't put a limitation to how many kalim you could use to save your wine, so you're gonna go, get as much kalim, as many pots and pans and cups as you can to save all of your wine. And it might lead to a point where you're going to bring it from a Rishos HaRabim. So in order to prevent you from overdoing it, there was a limitation place that you can only use one kli to save your wine. This is very similar to the case of the house with the fire, that you're only allowed to save three meals lest you overdo it. Gufa, let's analyze this b'rais itself. Nishbara lo chavis b'rosh gago, maybe kli yumaneach tachteho, b'vashu lo yivli kli achar v'yiklot, or kli achar v'yitzaref. Right, so you should, right, so we have these two, this, as we just quoted. So now the b'raisa ends. Nizdamin lo orchin, if he has guests, right, he invited guests, maybe kliach acher v'kolit, kliach or mitzaref. Well, but if you have guests and you have a greater requirement for wine, then you're allowed to bring another kli. But here's what it says. Interesting. Velo yiklot v'acher kach yasmin. But don't collect and afterwards invite. You can't do that, where you say, okay, you know what, I'm gonna get a bunch of kalim and as many as I need, and then I'm gonna invite guests. That you can't do. Ella yasmin va'achar kach yichlot. First, you should invite other people, and then you should collect. Right. So you look out into the street and you say, hey, you want to come over for lunch? Sure. And then come over for Shabbos lunch. Sure. Great. Perfect. Now you grab another kli and collect it. So that you can do. But hold on, can you? Then the brisa continues. Ve'ein marimin bekach. But you're not allowed to be clever about it, meaning, you know, be tricky and deceitful by doing it, just as the Hechitim says, just as a way to be able to save more wine. So you're inviting people. You can't do that. So, then the Braisa continues, Mishum Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Yehuda, Amru Marimin. No, Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Yehuda says you can use this. This loophole is acceptable. You can invite other people for the purpose of saving your wine, but still, you can't save the wine first and then invite people. You need to say in advance, you know, while your wine is pouring out, find somebody who's willing to come over for the meal, and then you can use that as a heter to save it. Okay. So now the Gemara says something interesting. Lema beplug to Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, commifically. Say that this machlokus that we have over here, we just quoted the machlokus, the Tanakhama, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, whether you're allowed to apply this loophole or not, this deceitful loophole or not, say it's the same machlokus as the machlokus of Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua, and regarding the machlokus that they have. Detanya, as we learned in the Braisa, Oso v'esbeno shenafu labor, if an animal and its young fall into a pit. So one quick important mitzvah, an isser in the Torah about Oso v'esbeno, that you're not allowed to kill an animal and its young on the same day, right? It's some of our sin point out, it's similar to Shiluch HaKain, but whatever it is, you're not allowed to kill an animal and its young on the same day. So now let's say they fell into a boar. They both fell into a pit. Now, there's going to be an isser of taking an animal out, not for immediate purpose. This is talking about on Yom Tov. So if you don't need, you can only take out of the pit what you need for Yom Tov. And you definitely can't eat both of them in one day. You can't eat the Oso Vesmino in one day. So are you allowed to save both of them, or can you only take one out of the pit? So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ma'ales Arishon Amanas L'Shochto. Well, you're allowed to take one animal out, either the mother or its young, out and shecht it, and that's going to be your Yom Tov Suda. V'hasheni Oso Lo Parnasa B'Makomo. And the second animal, you have to leave there. You can't take it out because you're not planning on eating it. You don't need two cows in one day, one for one day of Yom Tov, one Yom Tov meal. So what you're allowed to do for the second one, you don't want to die in the pit, right? If you leave it there without food, and it's probably going to die in the pit by after Yom Tov, and you that's a big loss. So what should you do? You can put its parnasa in its place, right? You can write it a check, all right? Put it in some animal food, so that it doesn't die, and that's how you're going to deal with it. Rabbi Yeshua Amar, Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you know what you could do? You're allowed to take out the first one for the purpose of shechting it, saying, I think I'm going to take this animal. I'm going to shecht it, wink, wink. And then you don't shecht it. Umarim, and you can be very clever. Umale es hasheni, then you bring up the second one. You say, you know what? Actually, I think I'm in the mood for the other animal. Rotzazeh shochet. And you could take a look at your selection now. So I have the mother, I have its youth. I'm not going to eat both of them one day, chas shalom, that's nisur d'oraisa. But I'm going to take a look, do I want this one or do I want, I think I'm going to go with the first one actually, or the second one. You can take any one you want. So over here, Rabbi Yeshua allows us to use the subterfuge, right? We can use this loophole, this trick, in order to save both of them. Rabbi Eliezer is machmir. He says, nope, you can take out the first one, the second one, you drop some food in it and call it a day. So maybe that's the same achlokus in our brisa regarding having guests. Are you allowed to invite guests so that you can save more wine? Tanakama says you ain't mariman. You can't be clever about it. You can't be deceitful about it. You can't be use this loophole. And Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda says you can. So maybe it's the same achlokus. So the Gemara says no, it's not the same achlokus. Not necessarily. There's different ways to understand this. Dilma adkan lo kama Rabbi Eliezer hasam to efshar barbanasa. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer says why is Rabbi Eliezer so machmir? And he says no, you take one out, you give them another parcel. That's only because in a case where you're able to give it parnasa, meaning if you're able to drop some animal food, in this case, you're able to save it. So there's not going to be a chisaron, right? There's a way to make sure you don't lose out. Avahacha, but in this case, the case of the barrel, where if you don't invite people, you're going to lose out on this wine, delo efshar, lo. Maybe Eliezer would be makel. Rabbi Eliezer is machmir in our case with the two animals in the pit. Because, you know, there's a way to work it out that the second animal doesn't necessarily have to die. But in this case, maybe Rabbi Eliezer wouldn't be some machmir. He says, no, you're going to lose out. If you don't invite the people, you're going to lose out the wine. It's going to go liibud. So, no. The adkan lo kam Rabbi Yeshua in the other way as well. And maybe Rabbi Yeshua was so makel with our case of the two animals in the pit. So maybe he's really makel hasa mishum de ikat tsar ba'al chayim. Very interesting. Maybe because it's tsar ba'al chayim, Rabbi Yeshua is makel. He's makel. He says that, listen, there are two animals. There's an animal suffering in the pit. He's going to spend whole Yom Tov in the pit. That's no way to spend Yom Tov. This poor cow, this poor calf spending Yom Tov in a pit, you know, by himself. There's no way to treat an animal. So then we're going to do this little trick. Maybe this one. We'll take out both and take your pick of what you're going to slaughter today, and then you avoid the tzar bali chayim issue. Avlahacha delik tzar bali chayim. But in the case of the barrel where the barrel breaking, there's no tzar bali chayim. So lo, maybe Rabbi Yeshua would be actually more machmir, and therefore we can't establish that the machlokas in the brisa with the barrel of wine is going to be the same as Rabbi Yeshua and Eliezer regarding these two animals. It's interesting that. I mean, it's just very clear that, you know, if the plan is to kill the animal, why is that not tzar bali chayim? But again, yeah, you know, we see that, yeah, that's not an issue of tzar bali chayim, of slaughtering an animal. We do it in a very humane way, and it's for a purpose. But over here, there's perhaps a concern of tzar bali chayim. Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa. Hatzil pas nikia v'ein matzil pas hadra. Pas hadra matzil. So this is a similar type of case, where you're allowed to save pas nikia if you have clean bread. Right. Meaning, let's say you had clean bread somewhere in a pit or something like that. You're not allowed to save, or I guess to be destroyed, and you're not allowed to save the pas hadra. Pas hadra, Rashi says, it seems to be like a lashon sagi nahar of like hadra, where the hadra, this is taken away. The head, right? So it's some coarse, not such quality bread. So if you already took the pas nikia, the clean bread, so you're not going to be allowed to save the pas hadra, this low quality bread, and say, you know what, maybe I don't want the pas nikia, let me have the pas hadra, because it's so obvious that you're trying to use a loophole. However, pas hadra, matzah pas nikia. But if you first took out this pas hadra, this coarse bread, and you say, you know what, I'd rather actually have pas nikia, so that's not going to be, that's a proper use of a loophole, that you can get the pas nikia afterwards, because that's a realistic change that you might want to do. Umatzilin miyom kipurim, or this is
I think this is burning on Shabbos, right? I mean, you're trying to save some bread from burning from the Shabbos. So you might say, listen, you might have taken if you took the clean bread out, you say, you know what? Actually, I think I'm going to save the pas hadra, this lower class pas. I'm going to save that instead. So that you can't do. But if you took out the coarse bread and you say, you know what? The coarse bread, I would much rather have nicer bread for my meal. So you can go back in, and I guess that doesn't count against you in the limitations. Because that's a proper use of the loophole. Because it makes sense that you would do that. And it says, however, umatzilan meyom kippurim leShabbos. And let's say it's Yom Kippur falls out on a Friday, and now it's Yom Kippur so you're allowed to take it out for Shabbos for the day in advance. Avalom Shabbos leYom Kippurim. But let's say Yom Kippur is Sunday, so you're not allowed to take the bread meals out on Shabbos for the Motzai Yom Kippur break fast that you're not allowed to do. And Rashi explains because you don't need to. You can just you can prepare new food for yourself, Motzai Yom Kippur. You don't have to eat on Yom Kippur itself, obviously. You can't eat on Yom Kippur itself. So you're allowed to, since you can prepare new food Motzai Yom Kippur, you have no right to save extra meals on Shabbos when Yom Kippur is a Sunday for Motzai Yom Kippur. The Insark Lomar, and based on that, we don't have to say Mishabbos leYom Tov velo Mishabbos leShabbos haba. And you definitely can't save from one Shabbos. Let's say Shabbos goes into Yom Tov. Yom Tov is a Sunday, so you're not allowed to save food for Shabbos. Save food on Shabbos for the Yom Tov meal because Yom Tov you can prepare your own food again, and not from Shabbos for the coming Shabbos because you have a whole week to prepare that food. So that's obvious, right? You can't say, oh, I need to save meals from my house, right, from the burning house on Shabbos for next Shabbos. No, you have a whole week to make more food, so you cannot do that. It's only when you absolutely need it. For example, when Yom Kippur leads into Shabbos, you're allowed to save it on Yom Kippur for Shabbos. Tanur Rabbanu, we learned in a Braisa. Shachach pas betanur v'kidei shalav hayom matzilin mazum. So let's say somebody forgot bread in his oven and right, so it's going to burn. So normally, right, there's an isser of radias apas, of taking down bread. Right, the bread was was attached to the walls of the tanur. We learned this back on Daf Dalet, if you remember then. It's quite a while ago. But in Zatal, we learned that you're not allowed to take bread, you're not allowed to detach it from the wall of an oven on Shabbos. But if you don't do it, you're not going to have food for Shabbos. So are you allowed to do it then? So Shachach Pas was an herb. V'kidei shalav hayom. And the day was nikdash, on him, meaning it was Shabbos without him even asking, right? No, he didn't do anything, but it already became dark. So what can he do? So matzilin mazon shlosh sudos. He's allowed to save enough bread for three meals, right? Similar to the burning house. And we're allowing him to violate an Isser here. V'omer l'achirim bo v'tzilu l'chem. And he can even say to others, come and take and save for yourself. So he's allowed to take, he's only allowed to do three meals, but he's allowed to tell others, right? I guess he had a lot of dough in the oven, and he's allowed to tell many people to take for themselves as well. U'kishuhu rode, but when he does the radiyas apas, lo yirde b'mirda. He should not take it down with a mirda, with the type of paddle that a baker would typically use, or this elibasakin, rather he says to do it with a knife, which is not the normal way of doing it. So the Gemara says, Eni, is this true? V'hatan debe Rabbi Yishmael, lo sasakal malacha, yotza tekiya shofar v'diya sapas, shi chachma v'ena malacha. Right, we have a brisa that the Bei Rabbi Yishmael taught, that the pasuk says you're not allowed to do any malacha, which excludes things like tekiya shofar and radiyas apas, blowing shofar and detaching bread from the oven wall, because that's a chachma and it's not a malacha. That's like a skill and it's not a form of malacha. Therefore, it's not included in malacha. And even though we're talking about Isser Derbanan, but it should be modeled off the Isser Deraisa. So why would you need to do it with a knife? You should be able to do it. Right, it's definitely not it's definitely not a deraisa, and over here we should employ a heter to save the food for Shabbos. So why would you have to do it with a sakin? So the Gemara responds, "Kama de esher l'shinuyei mashninan." As much as we're able to change from the normal manner, we're going to do it. So if we're going to allow him to have a heter in order to have food for his three meals on Shabbos, that he's allowed to take down this bread and violate the esher deraisa of radiyas apas, but as much as you're able to do a shinoi, please do so. Amar Rav Chisda says, Li'olam yashkim adam lahotzas Shabbos. A person should always get up in the morning for the hotzas Shabbos, to bring things out, meaning the necessity of Shabbos. Talking about Erev Shabbos, meaning someone should wake up early Erev Shabbos to do this. Shneimar, the pasuk says, V'hoya b'yom ha'shishi v'echino es asher yaviu. That it says, and on the sixth day they would prepare that which they would bring. So it seems to indicate, La'alter, as the Gemara says, right away. It seems that based on the Pasuk, they would prepare and they would bring things right away. And if they would prepare and bring things right away, so that teaches that we should also do the same. And we quoted Ma'adidus on a Kufyud Gimon, and Ma'adidus also mentions this, right? It says, Me erev mazminim kominim atamim mibo od yom muchanim, right? That mibo od yom muchanim, when it's still day, muchanim, that we should prepare. This is based on this Gemara over here, there's an inyan from as early as you can, erev Shabbos, to start preparing for Shabbos is a beautiful thing that's based on a pasuk. Omer Rabbi Abba b'Shabbos chayiv adam levtzo al shtei kikaros tiksiv lechem mishne. So Rabbi Abba says that on Shabbos a person needs to break two loaves of bread, because the pasuk says lechem mishne regarding the money. It was collected as there's a double portion. Shabbos, right? We learned this actually on Daf Lamed Tes Maseches Brachos, also quite a while ago. Amar Rav, and you'll probably recognize a few of these next few lines also from the Gemara there. Amar Rav Ashi Chazina Leil Rav Kahana Dinokat Tarti. Ubatzachada. He says, I saw Rav Kahana that he would actually take two breads, but he would only break one. Omar, and he said, Luktuksiv, because the pasuk says they gathered, in plural, right? That it seems like they gathered lechem mishnah. Luktu, they gathered lechem mishnah, but not that they broke or ate lechem mishnah. So you only have to take, while you have to take two breads, you don't have to open both, you don't have to, eat both, you take two breads, but you only have to eat one. Rabbi Zeira have a butza achula shiruse. Rabbi Zeira would break bread and he would have it for his whole meal. He would have one large piece for his whole meal. Amrele Ravina Ravashi. Ravina says, Ravashi, really? He did that? Vaha michsi kerav sanusa. But this looks very, ravenous. Right, this looks like he's a very hungry guy. It's not a menshach thing for someone like Rabbi Zeira to do that. Amar Lei, he said back to him, "Kaven dechol yoma lo avid v'hid nahu deka avid lo michzik ravas anusa." That no, since he never did that, was not his practice during the week at all. Rather, he, in fact, the opposite. We have several indications of the opposite throughout Shas of Rabbi Zeira being a minimalist when it comes to gashmias. In fact, when he made Aliyah, I think we mentioned this back in Maseches Brachos, when he made Aliyah from Bavel, he fasted, I think, for 40 days straight in order to be able to forget all his Bavel Torah to learn new Torah of Eretz Yisrael, which is its own, discussion. But we see that he was a big minimalist when it came to Gashmias. But over here, he did this, and because it wasn't a daily thing, so it wasn't a problem at all. We actually had a very similar concept on Kuf Yud Gimel as well, I believe, where it talks about lowering your clothing and wear chashav clothing on Shabbos, or wearing things, lowering your, like, the gowns, And we say, hey, doesn't that look like he's being a bald guy? But we say, no, it's, you don't do it during the week. It's a special thing for Shabbos. So same idea over here. That there's certain, that on Shabbos we conduct ourselves differently, and it shouldn't reflect negatively on us as long as it's not our practice during the week. Rami Ravasi ki miklaluhu rifta de ruva sharu ilave. Rami and Ravasi, when they would, get the bread of the Eruv, right? So for Eruv Chatzeros, one of the things in order to allow a carrying in a Chatzer is if everybody chips in and owns bread and that's put in one of the houses and you're allowed to eat it. So Sharu Ilave, they would start their meal on a Rosh Hashanah, shows a lesson of starting. Amri, and they would say, Hol v'isavid b'chada mitzvah, l'isavid b'mitzvah acharina. They would use that for Lechem Mishnah, because they say, since we already used this bread for one mitzvah, for the mitzvah of Erev, so we might as well use this also for our Lechem Mishnah to do another mitzvah on it. Okay. And, okay, we'll call Kuf Yud Zayin over here, and I'll send Kuf Yud Chesam and Aleph shortly.